Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV podcast. We are back in the room together. Oh, my God. There's a little part who was like, hey, another week of talking to people on Skype. Great. I was like, yes, I get to talk to people in the flesh. And then I was like, oh, it's you two cunts. But, yeah, it's fine.
Wow. 30 seconds in and he's gone with the C word to describe us.
This video may be showing limited adverts. Chris Pager.
Maybe. Check the first 10 seconds. All you got to do is get through the first 10 seconds, Paul. You couldn't even manage that.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway,
Tom clicked an offer kids button.
Chris Pager. We always click that button, just to be clear. Ross Chandler joins me for this one as well. Yes, we're going to be discussing Liverpool's current deepening injury crisis, some updates with some fitness and how Liverpool are going to get through it in the coming weeks and months as well. But yes, we've got a kickoff question which comes from JerseyPaul90 on Twitter. He says, you get John Arnerisa to volley one person from present day or history straight in the balls. Who is it and why? It can be anyone too, like an old boss, not just major figures. So have we gone?
Was a cunt.
The what?
You for calling us a cunt.
I was going to go for him, but that was before we entered the show. basically, we've got an agenda file on Google Docs, and he's revoked me access. Yeah. So I was going to go for Paul anyway.
We can still read it, though.
Yeah, but I can't write anything. That's really annoying. What happens when I do the agenda?
Why did you have your access revoked, Chris?
I spelt November wrong, Paul.
You spelt November wrong, which we had a good laugh at. And then you proceeded to spell every word the way you'd spelt it wrong with an increasing frequency and volume of E's and M's on every single word, which is dead funny for the bit.
The proper answer is anyone who's in the Tory cabinet or a Tory. Rachel Riley.
Okay, see, not got balls.
No.
You know that.
No. It's Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
I think he'd probably quite enjoy it. I don't know. It probably would be a Tory, but it would be like Matt Hancock, I think. Because I think you'd get real. I think you could really hurt Matt Hancock. Like, I mean, the look at the facial expression when he was going to Ed a footy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the look of fear and scrumpled. He scrumpled up like a overly wet ball sack, didn't he? Like, you know what I mean?
I kind of do like the Boris shout though as well. I want him to be stood in his mirror doing his hair with a balloon and then get him from
Yeah. Sneak up on him while he's doing it, like, you're in kabam! That sounds absolutely splendid. Have you gone for a specific?
Just Tories.
I think Rees Mogg, you shouted it the other week, and that was always a
couldn't
good
think
shout.
Of his name, yeah. He's just.
Kick his top ass right to the moon from the lower part of his scrotum.
Out of all of them, he's the one I hate the most. I think he's a
loathsome creature, him, isn't he? Absolutely.
Looks a bit like the Demon Headmaster from back in the day as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But real and more evil. Anyway, we're going to be discussing the injury crisis and obviously where we're at in terms of a number of our key players and less than that. And, you know, a couple of things. Updates on Mo Salah, updates on Andy Roberts, and what we're going to do with the back four, and maybe transfer stuff heading into January. Chris Pajak, Van Dijk, season. Gomez, probably season. Oxlade-Chamberlain, next year at the earliest. Trent, Alexander-Arnold, 4 weeks. Mohamed Salah at the moment, COVID, potentially 2 weeks.
Yeah, see you later.
Thiago, still not sure. Fabinho should be back, but still not sure. Hendo, unsure, just currently been released from England duty for assessment. And Robbo, hamstring. And Steve Clarke has said that he's going to try and get him on the pitch this week again for Scotland. Because nice thanks, one. Steve Clarke.
Nice one. You're through.
I don't like Steve Clarke. He wasn't here long, was he? You know, he was at Liverpool for a small amount of time. But fuck Steve Clarke if he plays Andy Robertson again. Look, it doesn't read very well, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, let's be honest. The back four is all over the place at the moment. And, you know, is Tchimikash fit? Is he not fit? Who knows? Who really knows? Who even knows that he plays for us? I mean, you know, he's just been so limited in his involvements and stuff. So, and then you're looking at the centre-backs and you're going, right, OK, so Matip will be fit for how long? Because right now he is fit.
Matip fit today?
Yeah.
But there's every chance that when you're listening or watching this podcast, that might not be the case anymore.
Yeah, so just wrap him up. Bubble wrap him. Just all the way up to the game. Probably make him travel separate to the rest of the squad as well. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that he's okay. You're right there, Bob.
Not on my legs, though, Ross. There's a difference.
It's a big game against Leicester as well at the weekend, isn't it? Now, the one thing that I am thankful for is that we did go hard and go big in the Champions League earlier on, because there's two potential games. If you can get a win against Atalanta, you're through, aren't you? So you've got two midweeks, the next 2 weeks, essentially, where you can probably, A, get some lads up to speed, and B, rest a few players. Like, the B team players surely have to play in those games if we beat Atalanta at home.
Yeah.
So, and for where we are in the season, the injuries could have come at a worse time. They could have come like right now, today, and then these all stretch over 10 games over the next 8 weeks. But we are likely to get Thiago back. We are likely to get Tchimikash back. We are likely to get, you know, Naby Keita back into the fold and stuff like that as well. Hopefully Robbo and Henderson, Mo Salah will be available for a lot of the games around Christmas. The one area where we're struggling is the defence, and everyone's known that. And then you've got lads coming out who work at the Athletic saying, we're not going to sign a centre-half. Oh, really? Great.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Chris is right. In some areas, it's fortuitous. Like the Trent Alexander-Arnold stuff in particular, you know, there was talk of it being a month of him being out. Well, you know, the best part of 2 weeks of that will have been covered.
That could have been eight games. It's likely to be four.
Yeah, exactly. So there is a little bit of that. And as Chris rightly says there, Thiago should be back. Fabinho should be back. I mean, my God, we're going to need them. It's just that. In addition to that, you know, we'll talk about the Salah stuff in a second, but obviously Jordan Henderson, if you have to lose Jordan Henderson for any spell of games now, that's massive. Because again, we're just much worse without Jordan Henderson in the team than we are with him in the team.
Yeah, and it's also difficult in the fact that it's fine having those players that you just named, but when they've got to play intense games over a short period, the likelihood of them getting injured as well. Like, I know this is a bit miserable take on it, but like they're probably going to get injured at some point as well. It's a lot of pressure to put on them. On the back of an international break where they didn't need to play any fucking football or actually go anywhere. But and again, in addition to what we are getting at there, is the fluidity and rhythm, what Liverpool is based on. You can't have that if you're making four or five changes per game, particularly with the back line.
Yeah.
You can have that for, you get away with it one game. Those games you're talking about there, Ajax and Midtjylland, if you can have them as a bye, sound, like that makes things a lot easier.
Yeah.
But if you can't, then you put yourself into a world of trouble where you're asking Matip to play three times a week.
Yeah.
Nico Williams, three times a week. Reece Williams, which is sound, but still an unknown quantity into how good he is.
It's not the physical strains. If it's not sound for anyone, it doesn't matter. Yeah, that's not. And that's not even about ability.
Yeah.
That's too much footy to not be able to rotate. And I think we have the fixtures have fallen kindly in the Midtjylland, the last of our Champions League games. So like, even if you have to go moderately stronger, Atalanta, Ajax, just because it's a good game, they're good teams or whatever.
They're both home as well, which obviously helps us.
Yeah, and you can just kind of jettison that last game because it should be academic by then. I wonder, Chris, whether, you know, in terms of the rotation and stuff, I think we were going to rotate anyway. So I actually think we're entering a period where we would have seen more of Tchimikash, we would see more of Nico Williams, we've seen more of a bunch of these other players anyway. I think there was a calculated gamble on Liverpool's part to put our foot to the floor for this first chunk and get that eaten up as much as possible, do as well. And it's, in terms of the results on the pitch, you know, in terms of where we stand in terms of the league and the Champions League, it's gone pretty well in that regard. But yeah, it just feels like the wheels have fallen off right at the end of that, and it's not as much as it's a fortuitous time in some regards. It's also not a great time because we're now going into a period where we were going to rotate anyway, but actually we haven't got as many players to rotate because
in the absence of football, this happens every time there's an international break. Everything always feels worse because you've not got a win to hang your hat on. You know, and that's just the way it is when you're a fan of any club. And you know, for me, sort of talking about what Ross was mentioning there about the international stuff, I get international football. I don't like it. I don't watch it. But football exists on loads of different levels. Mm-hmm. International football is just another level that exists. And I don't like the friendly aspects, but they do need friendlies if they are going to be serious about winning a competition. And you do need to be able to rotate and have a look at different players and stuff like that. Footy's not just for Premier League fans at the end of the day. And I do feel like sometimes we do get a bit like, oh, come on. And obviously we do, because we love Premier League football and we love our side. And we get infuriated that everyone seems to get injured on international duty and it does us up the shitter, as it were. But look, that's the problem, is that footy's for everyone. And if you just randomly live somewhere outside of a place with a footy team, then you want to see the best players playing for your country if you like English football and all that type of stuff. So
in big tournaments, I'd agree with that, but not the rest of it.
Yeah, how do you go and win a big tournament if you don't play any games beforehand?
Yeah, but you don't have to play. England play three games in 2 weeks. They don't need.
But they're not three friendlies, are they?
One's a friendly and one's exactly a tournament, which was friendlies, which they've made a competitive element.
But we play friendlies prior to a season to get ready. Is it any different, really? Like, you know what I mean?
Just put the match fit, aren't they, in the middle of a season?
Yeah, but the team doesn't play together every week. So they need some, you know what I mean? I get it. Like, I feel the same way. But equally, to play devil's advocate, you do need friendlies. Mm. Like, our team need friendlies. Yeah, if we don't play seven friendlies, we start the season pretty poorly. And these are a team that play together for 2-3 years.
But Ross's point about the Nations League is spot on, is that they had a bunch of meaningless friendlies, so they added more meaning to them by making the Nations League, which they created another competition, a competitive set of fixtures within the season. And again, to your point, well, that should mean they're more prepared for the end of season tournaments, but of course it's an ecosystem, it's all connected, isn't it? So it's all well and good be like, well, the team need to play so they can get an understanding, but they play and they get injured because they've played too much football, and so that player isn't then capable of playing in the tournament that they've qualified for.
Joe Gomez got injured doing a training session before a friendly,
which he could have done in ours.
Yeah,
you know, he could have done that in ours, and that's kind of the point that I'm striving towards, is that it's not just because they're playing too much international football that they're getting injured. Mm. They're playing too much football, and actually there has got to be some level of blame for the Premier League managers who play them too often, for then that they can't play another game without getting injured. So it's all one, and the problem isn't there's too much international football. The problem is there's too much football.
Yeah. It's that thing, and again, it's in our ideal world, because we give a fuck about Liverpool. We happy clans international football, and I agree with your point though, Chris, is that you look at the moment, look at the Scotland celebrations, and look at the Hungary celebrations, and say that you want to get rid of that. Well, that's bollocks, because that's the best moments.
That's Euro qualifiers, so that wasn't UEFA.
No, exactly. But again, to Chris's point, You don't win games of football out the blue. Yeah. You don't parachute in from your footy team and drop into the pitch, you know what I mean, with your kit underneath. It's not like when you used to you want to stay longer in bed for school, so you'd sleep in your school uniform and get dragged out of bed the next morning. You know, you've got to be prepared for these things. So I get it. But again, you're right, it's all part of the ecosystem. And you're right, football managers' shouts will fall on deaf ears when they're playing them loads. But equally, they'll say, well, fuck off. We pay the wages that ours. We've got a commitment to a certain amount of football matches. It, you know, we said this the other day on, was it even last week's podcast, about the Pep Guardiola and Klopp being the ones who come out in favour of five substitutes and all that. So they can't be the ones to front it because they look like elitist dickheads. It actually needs to be other people. You know, there needs to be an understanding at multiple levels. And the problem is, okay, if you're an England fan, well, you've just had a whale of a time. You know, you just watched a couple of England games in your life. That's probably the best quality football. You know, but you got to watching. You got something to look forward to. It wasn't on my radar. There was no intent on my part to watch any England games whatsoever. It was time off for me. Whereas if you're a fan of York, you're not watching your games, because where are you watching your games?
So you're looking for having some water cooler television to look forward to, some good footy to look forward to. You probably are.
And by the way, I hate international football, but I am able to step back and look at it and go, there is a reason that these games are played, and the problem for me is that there's just too much.
But something's got to give, and football has made itself a rigid structure. So what's going to give? I remember a great analogy my biology teacher had, and he was talking about like how molecules work and why they're solids and all that kind of stuff. He said, look, here's my fist. If I punch this table, what's gonna give first? You know, for a while, you won't notice any difference, but eventually, if you just did it repetitively, it would be your hand that went first. it would be your hand that went first, and that's footballers at that. Football are the soft, fleshy components, fed into this rigid, this rigid steel machine that is footy, and there's been no allowances for that, and that's what we're thing is. And the problem is, of course, is that because everyone fucking hates Liverpool. And I'm using this in a broader sense. We all love Liverpool, but like no one's interested in what Liverpool's. So Liverpool have got all these injury problems. No one's asked. No one wants to hear bleating scousers go on again about all these injuries. We only use two substitutes in our last game because Trent got injured. You know what I mean? There's every chance we would have used one substitute in that game. Well, there's four substitutes that we wouldn't have used if we had five substitutes by that logic. Liverpool, who have become the elitist team who want to run away from the Premier League, no one wants to listen to any of our concerns, but doesn't make the concerns any less valid. And a load of fucking money grabbing that's happening around all of football is the root cause for all this. Not the individual. Not Gareth Southgate's fault that Joe Gomez gets injured. No. It's not Jurgen Klopp's fault that Joe Gomez gets injured. It's the fault of the institution.
You know, you're absolutely right. Like, and so you're right. Something's got to give somewhere along the lines. But I agree with you. I don't think Jurgen and Guardiola are the people that need to speak
but
up on this.
Friendlies make sense because they jettisoned friendlies in the summer. For that, because they realised the players needed some off time. So there was that 28-day month, wasn't the break. There had to be a 28-day break between you finishing football and starting the season. So again, we can play devil's advocate from this from all angles. Whereas it's right, football would be improved for having friendlies. Well, boo fucking who? What take having an international friendly in this climate feels a little...
Just doing international football feels a little mad in this climate, and that's part of the problem as well, isn't it? When the rest of the world's shutting down, and there's restrictions on them, and there's footballers flying all over the place and getting COVID and coming back and ruining it. I mean, clearly these systems that we are probably like at the absolute top of what Premier League clubs can do, with regards COVID and the protocols and all that. You can go to some nations where they just don't have the equipment, they don't have the funding, they don't have the ability to be able to look after their players in the same way that they would at Kirby or Melwood. So that's an issue in and of itself. But
and
that's
managed
also,
under their own pressures as well.
Yeah, but that's also part of the disparity between Premier League clubs and everything else.
Well, it's again, like the Steve Clarke thing, and again, if they're qualified, just let Andy Robbo go, mate. But there's plenty of examples. Like I say, we talk about the pressures that these guys are under as well. Ross, Gareth Southgate is all nobody. The big cloud of super duper positivity around Gareth Southgate is slowly dissipating, isn't it? He'll end up in a position before long, which we see with Klopp, when he says, well, no, you've got to complete X number of training sessions before you're capable of playing football matches. We don't mess around with footballers' health anymore. And international managers largely are better at handling those things. But also, if you tell a nation that, let's say Andy Robbo had been a touch and go for the game that they needed to book the place at the Euros, Steve Clarke would have been risking him. And Andy Robbo probably would have risked himself as well. And that's... Again, they're all part and parcel of the problem.
And I'm fine with that. I saw Robert played 120 minutes against Serbia because he was trying to qualify for the Euros. Like, I'm fine with that. My issue with the football before, as I said, is they can play a friendly. I think the wording of international break makes it assume that it's a break and it should be a break, and that's why I might have an issue with it. Yeah. And it's not a break. Like you're saying, international break, and you're playing three games in 2 weeks. UEFA Nations League said this on the Ranley yesterday. Southgate's under immense pressure to put his best team out to qualify for that competition to win a trophy for England, because that's what our mainstream media expects of him. And if he doesn't, he'll be hounded for it and he'll be out of a job. So it's also hard for him. And I understand his position of saying, right, listen, you can't have Henderson, you can't have this person, you can't have that person because Klopp doesn't want you to play. Well, you're Southgate, you're going to go, am I going to play him?
Yeah.
I want to win this. The other problem is that tournament's created as another opportunity for someone to qualify for the Euros. Like you're saying, well, Scotland's already qualified. Don't play Robertson. What have you got to lose?
And he can't. The problem is, of course, is that you're at the whims of national scrutiny.
Yeah.
For this, because your entire country of Europe. We talk about this all the time, Chris, about being under like scrutiny of the city of Liverpool. You don't want to do something that the people of the city that you live in and love and were born in hate. Yeah. He's got an entire nation of ultra passionate people. And Andy Robertson, you know, and also, let's be honest, there's probably if there's a nation in the British Isles that loves a bit of toxic masculinity, it's probably the Scots. You know, like the idea of Andy Robertson not being physically up for the fight. I mean, Mel Gibson's got a lot to answer for. you know, slap some war paint and your kilt on and get out there, Andy. You know, with my hamstring. Ah, fuck your hamstring. You know, give a rousing speech and get out there. This is the thing he's got to consider as well. There's pressures on the footballers outside of the normal of, oh, well, it's a game of football. He's the Scotland captain, and he doesn't strike me as the kind of person who would not want to take to the field. We all credit Jordan Henderson with shooting himself full of painkillers at halftime at Barcelona, whether it's a meaningless friendly or not. You can't.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Andy Robbo's been a Scot his whole life. He's been a Liverpool player 4 years. You know what I mean? And that's it. And, you know, 22 years they hadn't qualified for a major tournament in, and he's captaining them.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, of course he's going to love that. Of course he's going to want to be a part of it. Now, your questions are, if I was Robbo, I'd be like, right, okay, well, if I play again in a friendly, in a game that doesn't really matter so much, am I actually jeopardising both my season and the Euros if it goes ahead next year? If I pick up a worse injury off the back of it, do I lose form and all that type of stuff? These are things that the players have to decide. Mm-hmm. And the players, I think, probably have more power in this situation than we give credit for. We just think, well, it's all Southgate. I can't imagine in this instance Clark's not spoken to Jurgen Klopp about it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Before playing him in a game that doesn't matter.
Mm.
Like, they do, you know, Klopp seems to have a good relationship with a lot of international managers, and he does seem to have those open lines of communications. Not that it would have his blessing, per se, but, I mean, taking your captain, travelling, not playing, that works.
It'd be interesting to Klopp's reaction now, because he's often quite spiky about all this, isn't he? Like, he hates the Nations League. He absolutely hates it.
I think it's slightly different for an England camp, maybe. You know, you're looking at a Jack Grealish, you know, he's playing quite a lot of football, but he's just broken into the England team. Now, he's, you know, a slightly different for Scotland, there's no discredit to him, but it's a lot more competitive to get into the England team than it is the Scotland team. So Roma might say, well, I can have a rest. But Jack Grealish is going to turn around and say, oh, I'm not playing. like, I don't want to get injured because I want to play for Aston Villa at the weekend. Like, he wants to put his name in the hat. But...
And also, let's not forget what happened to Raheem Sterling when he said he was a bit tired.
Yeah, and you lose your place.
Absolutely fucking lambasted for 6 months because Brendan Rodgers and him had a conversation about him probably being slightly overweight as a very, very young player, all of a sudden thrust into the mainstream, you know, week in, week out football. No one wants to hear that, because everyone wants to hear the football, because all they can hear is money and see all the riches that these guys have got and expect them to be able to be more than human and yet less than human at the same time, which I think actually kind of follows over to the Salah stuff, Chris. Our initial reactions to Mo Salah, you know, he gets tested positive for COVID while away on international duty. And I was like, oh, well, you know, that's annoying, but shit happens. And then I was reminded of, because I hadn't seen this at the time, like the videos and photos of him dancing at is it his brother's wedding?
Brother's wedding, yeah.
I mean, we can look at this from the human side of things, but initial reactions are like, oh, you dickhead. Like, I get it. Like, you can go to your, if you can go, if you're allowed to go to weddings, you're allowed to go to weddings. He's a human being, and again, he's more. Salah is a man outside of him running around kicking a football. We all work, and we're all entitled to go and do what we're allowed to do in those things. Around that, there's a layers of risk involved in that. But when you see him on a crowded dance floor, surrounded by people in and out of a mask, it's hard to feel totally sympathetic towards his cause.
Yeah, no, it is, but it's his brother's wedding at the same time. And, you know, we're asking these players to be hermits throughout an entire season, and that's not right either. I mean, you know, if he's not mentally right, his football will suffer anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, as well? And I don't like it. I think it was a bit of a stupid thing to do. I'd prefer him to be an absorber ball while he was at the wedding and everyone else just dancing around.
A Greek ball?
Absorber.
Absorbing.
I'd rather him just in there, just dancing around in there and everyone else just partying normally around him, but it wasn't going to happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I can't be too angry with him, because if it was my brother's wedding in this thing, I'd go.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I would.
No, exactly. And that's the thing. I don't begrudge him going to his brother's wedding. And I think it's because you can see the importance of it, because it's the photo, isn't it, when he's then isolating and he's on like a three stories up on a balcony and they've had to take a photo of the brother and the bride, and it's shot up so that he's in the background kind of waving down. It was the only way they could get like a photo or whatever of him, which I thought was cute. Like, but it's, you can go there, but there's a degree to which you've also got to use your intelligence, and like, you reap what you sow, don't you?
The problem is, and we had a little bit of this when we did the Hendo mural, didn't we, is that Henderson came in and he wanted to stay away from everybody, but he just got backed up and he was like edging away, and you could see how uncomfortable he was with it all. And, you know, to the point where I think at one point said, can I take a photo with him, and we stood like a metre away or 2 metres away or whatever. And you're asking them to be a dickhead to a lot of people a lot of the time in those situations. And I was speaking to someone who runs a bar in Liverpool, got a few beers to ours the other day, Doghouse, Penny Lane. They do beer delivery, it's amazing. It's draft lager delivered to yours, go and get onto it. If you live within 2 miles of them on
Please
Church Road in Waverley, drink responsibly, of course. Now, and what he was saying is, I decided to shut the bar, even though we could have stayed open at some point and served food and beer restaurants. And he basically said, the last 4 weeks, they were policing the bar. Like, and it got to the point where they didn't want to come in because people were starting to take the mic and they were having to ask them to sit down and wear masks and blah, blah, blah. And that's not fun for us. We're hospitality people. And then all of a sudden we're not. And we're having to, like, and then people are giving us abuse for doing what the government have told us to do. And that's the same as what Salah maybe has gone through there. You know, you go in and then all of a sudden it's your family and you're like edging away from them, stay away. And then all of a sudden it's just like you're overwhelmed and you can't ask him to be this amazing footballer and police an entire wedding and potentially ruin his brother's wedding and all that. It's just so difficult for them that I don't like it. I think it was a bit of a stupid thing to do. But there's also a level of understanding that goes with that goes, he's just a fucking fella, man.
Yeah.
And he's trying to enjoy his brother's wedding and not ruin it and make sure that they have a good day and not make it weird. And I get that. I really get that at the same point.
Yeah, I don't think he's solely responsible. It's everyone that's around him is also an issue in that photograph as well. I don't think it helps that he's got a mask on, but he's wearing it around his chin. You know, I think as
no, it definitely doesn't help you, right?
Well, as much as you're saying, like, you know, he's a human mistake, I agree with that, but also I think he needs to remember how much responsibility he has, how much of a figurehead he is, how many millions of people around the world like look up to him, what he does. And if someone goes, I'm not saying this is the case, but it might happen. Obviously, I was not wearing a mask, you know, therefore I don't have to do it. But at the same time, I think I was initially angry with it. And then someone asked me on the news yesterday, would you go to your brother's wedding? And I thought, well, yeah, I would go, but I wouldn't, like, well, I don't dance anyway, but I'll be surrounded by people. But also, it's life. He might have just wanted a blowout. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
The point is that he's allowed to. But again, it is what it is. I mean, if nothing else, it means it's done. You know, if he has had it, and then we'll see, brother, because there's talk that, like, the Egyptian FA feel, you know, I know how true this is, they feel that he would get a negative test if he's tested again. Like, you know,
that sounds good.
Yeah. It sounds slightly better.
We didn't cheat the first test, so
yeah. It's all a bit sus, isn't it? But like, I don't begrudge him going to weddings, because again, these are the points about these things, is that he's the human beings, and as much as we demand these guys, and we've are emotional, Salah can't be responsible for our happiness, like, you know what I mean, like, and the stress that's caused around Liverpool football club. We're probably taking footy too seriously if we're getting to the point where we're getting angry and wound up about this, because Liverpool and footy is such a central part of our lives. That's the problem with that profession, isn't it? But we do again, we forget the human beings. But also, if you're gonna get caught out by being your best behaved in it, you know what I mean? Like, so all the stories at the moment are X, Y, and Z. So Boris Johnson is isolating because one of his cabinet members caught it and he was with him. But when they were with each other, they weren't wearing masks. And that's now the such and such got it. Here they are pictured in a big crowd of people without a mask. It's like, do yourself a favour. If you're going to be a public figure, then just...
Especially if you wrote the fucking rules.
I mean, you're at a fucking wedding and you're Mohamed Salah and you're in a big room full of people who know you, and to a lesser extent, you're a global icon. There's no chance that someone's not going to photograph you and do whatever. So you'd have to cop for it. You know, if you've done that, you do have to cop a bit of blame for it. I don't think Liverpool would be happy with him, you know, regardless, as much as they'll be understanding of his situation, because you're right. He is human, but he's also an employee, and he's jeopardised the potential. He's potentially jeopardised his business and his by doing that. It's fucking mad, isn't it?
Blame international football. If it wasn't an international break, he wouldn't have gone to the fucking wedding, would he?
Probably. No. Still, maybe, you know. Okay, it's mad. Moving it forward then, David.
They probably set that wedding for that date because it was an international break as well, haven't they? It's been in the pipeline for 2 years.
Yeah, quite possibly. We had a couple of super chats actually while we've been doing this live. Ashley Frith with £5, thank you. She said, love the book, read it twice. Thought I would ask this question. What do you think is a realistic target for Liverpool this season with our situation?
First.
We'll see. Like, I've heard a lot of people say this. Is that I can't abide, and I know it's just people like jinxing it, anti-jinxing it, or whatever, when they say, well, that's the title done. It's not done. It might be. It very much might be. What do you think? Ask me again in January. Like, you know, I don't think anyone's got a fucking clue what this is going to look like at the moment. Whereas the FA Cup break is like the second week or the end of the first week in January. Get to there. That's our next staging area. That's the next area where you get to take a breather. If Liverpool are in the top four, I think around that time, I think
the Akers have four players. Fucking January, never went top four.
Yeah. What about you, Ross?
I'm the same. Those comments actually do my head in. Of like, that's done. It's like you're presenting an opinion as fact, and it's just not the fucking case. I get it if you're not worried about it. I think that stems from Man City and their excuse of going. Some Man City fans, we didn't have Laporte. That's why we didn't compete for the title last season. And goes, well, that's it. I don't think you can disregard the quality of Fabinho, Van Dijk, Trent and go, well, things going to be all right, because it's not. But you just said it then, none of us know. Liverpool might have a squad for a reason. And the fixtures that we've got, I think we spoke about the Champions League before, but I think we've got the likes of Brighton, Crystal Palace, Fulham between now and before Christmas. you're thinking Liverpool got a relatively decent squad that can manage those without having most of the best players.
We've not seen what the real season looks like yet. Yeah. This is still close to normal. You know, there's still midweek games, Champions League, European, blah, blah, blah. But we're heading into this period now where everyone's going to be playing two games a week, and it's a longer period, and it's a more intense period.
Other teams have injuries.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Everton's case, suspensions.
And loads, other teams are going to have loads and loads and loads of injuries. And all of a sudden, all the lads, you know, Steve Bruce has already come out and talked about it. David Moyes already said, like, he's changed his mind. He thought five subs should have been scrapped, but he disagrees with his opinion. Now he's changed his mind on it. They're all going to come round, because they will, because what we're about to enter now is the grind. And we have this every season, where you reach this point where it's not the start of the season, where everything's fun and magic. Oh, the footy's back, blah, blah, blah. That's gone now. This is the season where one win doesn't really do anything to you. You've got to put back to back to get it to
points,
get a good
on the
together.
Table constantly. That's what it's about from here on, and that's why I said at the beginning it's good that, you know, we can hopefully get this Champions League group done and dusted in the next game, because it will give us two Premier League games with games in the middle where you can rest and rotate and whatever, and that's massively important. But look, I think City have got 7 injuries. I think Arsenal got about 5 or 6 injuries. United have got about 7 injuries. We've got 9 injuries. You know, everyone's struggling at the moment. I think it's quite funny in a sick way that, like, Man City will be going, like, we didn't replace Rochon Kompany, and Liverpool could be going, we didn't replace Lovren.
That's true.
Yeah, fucking gallows humour type of way. Like, oh my God, how? We've watched City do it. How have we not replaced it?
Talk about revisionism. Like, you know what I mean? The amount of people who are like, what a player Dejan Lovren was. Like, you mean, fuck off. We were all made up when he left. Like, you know what I mean? And, you know, to varying degrees. I don't want to, like, Lovren was fine. And I think we'll learn. I think we're learning already. Lovren was better than fine. He was very good. But he was... You know what you are.
Absence
getting with
truly does make the heart
go. Oh God, honestly,
like,
I mean, he's gone. It's done. It's dusted. This notion of, like, maybe we could get him back on loan. He's happy. He's playing footy every week in the Champions League. I think he's certainly playing. Yeah, in fact, then he's in the Champions League with Zenit. He's doing really well. He's probably fucking made up. He's probably having a good old life. You know. Yeah, it's just it'll be fine. But it won't. I just
the injuries that we've got, and it seems to be getting worse. And that plays into people's minds if it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Gomez, obviously he's injured, but like we joked about, like, you can't rely upon Matip. What does that mean? But I think you also have to look back at the teams that we played already and where we are in the league. You know, we played what, Chelsea, Arsenal, City. Everton, yeah. Leeds,
Villa.
Villa we might win.
Villa win the game. Yeah. Villa beat Man City. If Villa's game now with Man City was this week and they won it, they'd be top of the league.
So to the teams that we played and where we're at with the situation we find ourselves in, like, on reflection, I don't think it's too bad. Yeah, we want to run away with it, but we can't have that every year.
It's right, because that's the thing, is we don't know. This is what I mean about we don't know what the season goes, Chris. Liverpool could get more injuries. They will. Other players will get injured. But what I mean is, like, they could we could get more long term, and that might be something we have to deal with, because we just don't. None of us have got a clue what's going to happen when by the time we get to the end of January. Which is, again, when it starts to properly starts to kind of settle back into a normal routine again. Like, we could be a team, we could be eighth. You know what I mean? That could happen. I don't feel it will, but that's based on where we are now and what I've seen over a number of years. But that's the thing, is that my comfort and security comes from some lads will come back. We're probably just going to find, best case scenario really is, we'll lose two but get one back, and then we'll lose one and get two back, and it'll be a constant. Like, we're very rarely able to put our best 11 out, but we'll probably just about be enough there to keep us ticking.
Yeah, and we've not seen what Thiago brings to this side yet properly, have we? And that's the other thing, isn't it? And again, you know, if there was something in the summer where someone said to Jürgen, listen, you can buy Thiago or you can buy a 4-3 centre half and use Fabinho. I reckon that's probably what's happened, and he's gone, well, I'll buy Thiago then.
Well,
thank you very much.
Well, you've got David Ornstein in The Athletic saying that it's unlikely Liverpool move for a defender. I don't believe that.
No, that's bullshit.
I think that's total nonsense. Yeah. I wouldn't
keep the price low. Yeah. Classic Edwards.
Yeah. You would be. Everyone knows Liverpool will need a defender. So it doesn't do any Liverpool any favours to have to.
He's probably telling the truth because he said Liverpool aren't going to sign our defender. No, we're going to sign two.
Yeah.
That's why.
anything you can do to obfuscate the truth and just maybe you know, like divert a bit of attention or anything just to slow down the obvious, you know, obvious crushing need for a centre half. If you can save a couple of bob because you don't look as desperate. If you can just ease this air of desperation by feeding things left, right, and centre, then
on most occasions, I'd agree with that, and I think he has to come out and say that. I do agree that it is bollocks, but also as soon as Liverpool ring, I don't know, Leipzig or Napoli, and it's Liverpool on the fucking dial, they're going to laugh their heads off, going, oh, they're here for a defender, and we're going to pay a premium.
Just 1-4-1 it.
Yeah. Oh, no, exactly. No,
hello, it's Mickey Edmile here.
The thing is, we've been here before. We've seen Liverpool come out and tell us Danny Ward's the number one goalkeeper and then sign someone. And you know, we've heard Carrier.
We've equally had them say, we're not signing anyone.
Of course.
And then we've not signed anyone.
My point is that Liverpool need, I think, right now to reinforce to the squad that they're good enough to compete.
Yeah.
That's the first part of all of this. Because regardless, we can't sign anyone until January. So we've got about 10 games before that happens. So going out and telling Nath Phillips that you're fucking getting replaced in 8 weeks is not a clever thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't alter the conversation when Napoli... not buying cool, they can't do cool about it, by the way. It doesn't change the conversation pad between football clubs because it's known. And I'm saying this is not... It is just, if it's only fraction, if it just diverts attention away, if it just shuts down chatter and buzz around it, and you're right, if it gives a little fractional boost to the guys who are in the squad, if you're telling Kometio, Vandenberg, Phillips and Williams that, no, lads, this is your shot, you have to. I mean, imagine, you're right, where's your motivation? You've got those lads, whether it's bullshit or not, you need them to buy into the conceit that they are good enough to be centre-halves for Liverpool, whether it's true or not, and whether we think it's true or not. And this is what people forget sometimes. Stop telling Nat Phillips he's not good enough to play for Liverpool, or Joe Gomez, or fucking, you know what I mean? Stop it, because they might believe you. And if they believe you, that's well worse than them than it being than them not being good enough, but believing they are. Not being good enough and believing you're not good enough is the fucking worst thing that could possibly happen to us in this situation. Because you're like, we can't do anything about it. There's no magic defender that's going to come in and fix it in the short term. So, fair play, you know. On the flip, of course, is that we might literally not have the money to buy a centre half. Is also a perfectly reasonable.
Honestly,
situation.
I'd be writing to the bank manager now and asking for the bigger overdraft, mate.
Yeah.
We need a centre half. There's no ifs, buts, and maybes about it. Like, we need a centre half.
Yeah.
That Jamal Lewis stuff might come in handy for this. You know, we had a couple of talks with Norwich about buying him and then walked away. Liverpool might have that situation in the summer of talking to 2, 3, 4, 5 centre backs. Just go, you're right, thanks. Yeah. People try and take the piss and just go, no, you're all right.
And also, let's be honest, the conversation was different in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, Dejan Lovren, who is an international calibre centre half, played in a World Cup final, can't get anywhere near Liverpool's team. He'd rather go to fucking Russia and freeze his bollocks off than be fourth choice, whatever, at Liverpool. And so centre half might be thinking, I'm not sure where to get my game. You know, Gomez is good, Van Dijk's obviously good. But am I going to have to come in and work, etc., etc.? Conversation's a bit different now. You know, you turn around to a lad and saying, well, actually, you're going to come in and be our main man for the rest of the season. Establish yourself, and then you're playing with Virgil Van Dijk from next season onwards. Quite a pleasant conversation, maybe, you know, to call it, kind of force people's hands. Gareth Baird, 5 pound super chat, said, Klopp, I'll get my boots out. Yeah, there's a lot of that. I'm really enjoying, I bet you are, Ross, handling the social media. I'm really enjoying the ... can do the job at centre half joke.
It's going to be old now.
It's a little bit old. No, fine. No, thanks, Gareth. We'll call that. You're the last person. You got in under the door. Indiana Jones style, slid in under, got your hat. You've made it in. Everyone else who does it afterwards, the joke's dead.
I've put on so much weight during lockdown that my feet have got fat, so I don't think I could get my boots out.
Fat feet. Fat footed.
Oh my God, yeah.
Just paint them.
Yeah, just paint them. Yeah. Have some well.
Three stripes on these gammons, mate.
Absolutely. Yeah, obviously, it's basically all this means, of course, is it's James Milner time. But yeah, we will be talking about
Hendo centre back with Fabinho.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
Hendo's yeah injured, in a few weeks time.
Yes, we're going to be discussing a few more of these bits and pieces, obviously, on the build up show for Liverpool Leicester, which is going to be going on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that, of course. Plenty of other cool stuff lined up for you to keep you entertained throughout the rest of this crappy international break to distract, to numb the pain of inevitably more injuries and all that kind of shite that follows. We've got a documentary coming up on the redmentv.com. It is Brendan Rodgers, Liverpool. We've been talking to a whole host of people who played under Rodgers and people who were around and reported on it at the time to get a real look at the rise and fall of Brendan in charge of the mighty Reds there. That's going out the back end of this week on the redmentv.com, so sign up for that. And additionally, our Christmas merch is available right now as wonderfully rocked by Mr. Chris Pajak. For the first time ever, we're doing it in t-shirt form. So obviously, if you're concerned that it's going to be a bit hot in your house with the heating on, get the design in t-shirt or in sweatshirt form. We're going to give you a little advert on this to round things off. But yes, Thursday 24th of November is the rest of world cutoff date for guaranteed delivery for Christmas.
I think it's November.
It doesn't mean you can't order after the fact and you might get away with it. But just saying, if you want guaranteed delivery before Christmas and you're living outside of the UK and Europe, so like America and Australia and stuff, then get your orders in before Thursday the 24th of November. UK, you got more time, so save up your pennies, maybe go for payday at the end of the month, but whatever, there's a load of boss designs on there, go and check it out. And here's a little bit of a closer look to wrap up the podcast. Thank you, gents. Thank you for watching, for listening, and we'll see you all soon. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.